Good morning. It's common practice at the lectern when you preside to tell you what Sunday of what church season this might be, whether it's Lent or Advent or Pentecost. May I, in a very lighthearted way, say welcome to First Christian Church on this second Sunday of the season of pumpkins. Please silence your cell phones and prepare to listen to Gaylene's prelude as we ready our hearts for worship. Thank you so much, Gaylene, for that gift. There are so many announcements. We are always so busy in our congregation at this time of the year. Please notice all the things going on at the Pumpkin Patch. I'm looking forward to the quilt show next weekend. I hope you all are too. And if you don't know where you are on the schedule, I believe John Lansing is reminding each of us, but please be aware of when you have offered to serve. Mike Ward would like to give us a pumpkin patch update.
And yes, I have orange on, but you just can't see it. First off, I would like to thank all that have participated in the Pumpkin Patch so far this year. That includes the salespeople, the ladies that are baking baked goods, maintenance and mechanics that have been repairing wagons, etc. Yesterday, the craft fair, I don't think you could have got anything more in the fellowship hall. When I talked to Carmen on Wednesday, she said about three vendors had pulled out, and she was a little depressed, but I don't know where we would have put them if they had showed up. I want to thank Carmen for put it and her crew, because I don't know who those they are, but I know she had help for an awesome job. It was packed downstairs, and when it's packed downstairs, it's pretty busy out in the patch. I also want to thank the pumpkin covering and uncovering crew. When it gets down below freezing, on short notice, there's a group that I call, and they show up. And when we did that last Tuesday, it was snowing, it was raining, it was cold and miserable. But I want to thank Tom Dowler, Larry Winders, Bob Malloy, Linda Mosteller, Cal Decker, and Dylan Stupak. They came down and either covered pumpkins on Tuesday night or helped take the tarps and stuff off on Wednesday morning. Next Saturday is the quilt show, and we want to thank Jane Wallace for the help putting that together, or actually putting it together. The following week, the 29th, is the pie baking contest. The rules and entry forms will be in the call that goes out this week, and they will also be available next Sunday here in the back or out in the foyer. Trunk and treat. If you haven't participated in pumpkin patch activities, this is an easy way. Go down, buy a bag of candy, come down between 2 and 4 next on the 29th in the far parking lot. Open up your trunk and sit in your car and hand out candy to the children that show up. That's really easy, and if you haven't participated, here's a way to get involved in the patch. Now, finally, the sales as of last night, we have sold $6,481.25. And we've also sold $199 worth of baked goods. I have had several questions that says, how are we doing compared to years past? And I don't know. But I ask that question, and there doesn't seem to be any records kept locally for those numbers. But I could call Pumpkin Patch fundraisers in North Carolina, and they might be able to give me some of those answers. But right now, at $6,000, almost $6,500, we're doing quite well. There's still a lot of pumpkins out there, but we're going to get them sold. I want to thank you all again. Thanks.
Among the other announcements is the contemplation of a cancer support group. I hope you'll give that your attention. Are there any other announcements? Tom May would like to say something about our bowling. I forgot to remind you to sign the friendship sheets and pass them down the center aisle. Most of you probably already did that. At this time, Linda Mosteller would also like to come forward.
Good morning. A little known fact is that October is Minister Appreciation Month. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 13 says, "Respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work." We do. A few years ago, when we were looking for a new minister, who knew that we would receive as a gift from God this wonderful, caring, and compassionate person as our pastor? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Today we show appreciation to our lead minister, Reverend Cynthia McBride. She is always there, everywhere. Her memory is phenomenal. That we could see from the first time she was here. Not knowing any of us, without notes, she remembered everyone on the prayer list and included them in her prayer. Her knowledge of the Bible and ability to teach it to us is so inspiring. She works hard in every aspect of our church. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our gift. And Pastor Cynthia, you make a difference, a huge difference. Thank you very much.
And we'd also like to recognize the special people, pastors, ministers in our congregation. Their service provided and by their families is unique. God has entrusted to them one of the most precious assignments, the spiritual well-being of his flock. Our congregation is blessed by the service of several people. Yes. Reverend Dr. Dwayne Axworthy. We're blessed that you could be with us today. He is educated and served congregations in Pennsylvania and California and was longtime pastor at First Baptist Church in Casper. With his wife, Betty, always by his side, we are very blessed and he's been very active in our church and our community. Thank you for being here today, Ax. We're also blessed, of course, by one of our Timothys from First Christian Church, Reverend Paul Halleck. Paul is a lifelong member of our congregation, and he served congregations as pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and Omaha, Nebraska, before he continued his ministry here in Casper. We're very blessed to have Paul with our congregation, and he continues to serve us daily. Thank you, Paul. I have two other, one is a Timothy of our church, and I don't believe she's here today, but Jenny Black was a Timothy, called a Phoebe of our congregation, graduating from Phillips University with a Christian ed degree and is a licensed lay minister in the Disciple Church. And so we appreciate what Jenny's done with our youth and the preschool, and she helped with the patch decorating this year. So, but Jenny's not here today. And also Betty Black. That goes back a long way, but she was an associate with Frank C., Dr. Frank C., when he was minister here as education youth director. She was married to Kirby, and they raised their family in our congregation. And she's currently a resident at Life Care. So these, we're blessed to have them in our congregation. And I have a card for them. So thank you. And you can all say thank you to them later. Oh, and one verse, Matthew 25:21. Well done, thou good and faithful servants. Thank you.
If there are no other announcements, let's stand, greet one another, and then we'll sing our opening hymn, number 517. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin or on the overhead. Oh God, sometimes we are so caught up in the storms of life, we fail to notice that you are right at our side.
We shape our hearts to live more simply.
Open our eyes to see you anew. Move in our midst so that even on stormy seas we will know your peace. Please pray with me. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, you meet us here, whether we come with light hearts or heavy hearts, in the midst of a storm or counting our blessings in peace. We thank you, Father, that you and you alone know what tomorrow brings, and you hold us in the palm of your hand. We ask, Father God, that you open each heart, each mind here today, that we may leave this place refreshed and renewed, and that the worship we participate in and the teaching that we hear, that your words soak into our hearts, that we may be stronger, braver, and closer to you, Lord God, when we leave this place. We ask these things, saying the prayer you gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the
You may be seated. Our hymn of prayer today is in the Red Chalice Hymnal on page 181. The storm is strong. This hymn text was inspired by the scripture we'll hear later in the service from Mark 4. Our youngest children are excused to go to Worship and Wonder and Sunday School prepared just for them. As the kids are leaving this morning, I invite you to look at the back of the bulletin. You'll find a list of prayer concerns of the congregation. We have some additions to increase that list as we pray together. Our card tower this morning is for Amber French. I encourage you to reach into the pew rack in front of you. You'll find a postcard. There's a picture of the church on one side. The other side is blank for you to write a note to someone who needs to know we're praying for them in worship today. Amber had foot surgery on Friday. She is home recovering. The doctors did a fusion of some of the small bones in her foot and also installed some hardware, adjusted her big toe to help her walk better and have less pain. It will be 6 to 8 weeks before she's allowed to put weight on that foot. So prayers for Amber in this time of recovery. We ask a prayer of blessing upon all the blankets that were made yesterday and those who will receive them. Kim Hogue needs prayers for her mom, Robin. Robin was carrying several items and walking down a set of stairs when she fell. She broke both of her legs, and the recovery period will be pretty extensive. She's had surgery to reset those breaks. Prayers of healing for Robin. Elaine Gross is recovering from cataract surgery. That was Thursday morning. It all went well, but she's not driving yet, so she's not here at church this morning, but prayers for Elaine. Virginia Braley has asked prayers for her sister, who is 87 years old and lives in Abilene, Texas. Her sister is in declining health, and the doctors have told the family it may be a matter of weeks before Virginia's sister is headed to heaven, so prayers of peace and comfort. Cal Decker has been doing lots of work for us around here at church with all of our capital campaign projects. He's excited that the window installers have promised they'll be here tomorrow. So Cal said, it's their promise, not mine. If it doesn't happen, don't blame me. Prayers for Cal. He's had a couple little hiccups with his own health, but he is so excited about all the work being done around church. Terry Taylor's daughter, Lanisa, went into labor early. She was life-flighted from Cheyenne down to Denver. Lanisa is at St. Luke's Children's Hospital. The doctors are working hard to balance between keeping the baby in her mother's womb as long as possible, but also knowing that delivery needs to happen soon for the baby's health. They're hoping to wait a couple more days so that the baby's lungs can develop just a little bit further. But the update we received this morning is that there's no longer any amniotic fluid in the womb, so we know that they won't delay delivery very long, perhaps on Wednesday of this week. So prayers for Lanisa. Considering the entire situation, she is doing very well. Her heart rate is good. The baby is still moving and appears to be healthy. So simply prayers for the complications in this pregnancy, that both mother and daughter will be healthy this week. Martha Wallace asked for prayers for a dear friend, Maggie, who was life-flighted from Moreland to Casper. She's been on dialysis long-term and has had some health complications this week. Prayers for her. Marie Robertson is at Elkhorn. She will be going through therapy for a while to build her strength back up. Marie suffered an episode where her blood pressure dropped and she slid out of her chair. She was hospitalized for a couple days and now is out at Elkhorn for recovery. The missionaries we're praying for today include Diane and Tim Fonderlin, who serve in Haiti. We continue to pray for all the people of Haiti so devastated by Hurricane Matthew. Our regional ministry prayer partners this morning are the members of Granger Community Christian Church in West Valley City, a part of Salt Lake City in Utah, and their pastor, Vanetta Golfin Wilkerson. Vanetta shares that they're getting ready to celebrate their 60th anniversary in ministry next year. So as a congregation that's been doing God's work together for 95 years, we offer encouragement to them to keep going. Granger is a strong and healthy, vibrant congregation with great cultural diversity. They have Samoan and Tongan members, African American members, and plain old white bread folks like us. So It is a delight to worship with them. If you're ever in the Salt Lake area, Vanetta would be thrilled to have other disciples visit. If you'd like to send greetings, there's a sheet at the back of the sanctuary you're encouraged to sign. Are there other prayers this morning that we want to name, concerns we want to share, or joys to lift up? Tom?
Yeah, Bill said thanks a lot praying for his family, for his siblings.
We continue to pray for them.
Yeah, you're doing really well.
Good. Susie? Trisha.
One of Evan's teammates broke his arm during the long game. The possible injuries this season, so just hoping it's good.
Prayers for young football players, especially a teammate with a broken arm. Keith.
A friend of ours from First Christian in Las Vegas, Harriet Slaughter, she had heart replacement surgery a year ago. They had to light fly her back down to Arizona. We don't know the exact cause, but we believe it has something to do with her heart. So.
Prayers for Harriet, a friend at First Christian in Las Vegas who's been life flighted to Arizona. Prayers for 13-year-old Jack, who's struggling with migraines. Let us bring all these concerns to the Lord and the prayers of our hearts as we share in a time of silence. Lord Jesus, our Savior and friend, you were in the boat with the disciples on the Sea of Galilee when a storm threatened to drown them all. Your voice calling for peace calmed the storm and calmed the disciples. Holy One, in our own lives, we face many storms. Knowing that you are right beside us empowers us also to know peace, to be calm, and to weather the storm. Lord, we pray for all those we have named today who are walking through different kinds of storms. We pray for those who need healing and hope, for those who need peace and strength. God, we ask for your healing hand to be upon Amber as she recovers from foot surgery. Be with Kim's mom, Robin. Be with Elaine as her sight is restored. Bless Cal with health and strength. And we pray for Terry's granddaughter, Lenisa. Lord, we ask you to watch over the little baby in her womb. Keep child and mother both healthy this week. We pray for a safe delivery. We pray for health for this little one soon to be born. Lord, we ask you to watch over our friend Maggie as she goes through dialysis and struggles with health. We pray for Matthew and others who are living with cancer. We pray especially that you will keep Matthew's body strong enough to fight infection. Be with Marie as she recovers at Elkhorn. Give her strength each day, and we thank you, God, for the peace that is in her life because of you. We continue to pray for Tom's friend Bill and family. And Lord, we ask you to watch over young athletes, watch over Evan and his teammates as they play football. Keep them safe from harm, and we pray for the young man with a broken arm that it will mend well. We join with the McIrvins in praying for grandson Jack. We ask God that the doctors will come to understand what is causing his migraines and will find treatment that helps. Watch over the Rouse's friend, Harriet, as she's in Arizona for treatment for her heart, for health and strength. Oh God, each one that we have named, those we have spoken aloud, and those we hold in our hearts, go through the storms of illness and sickness, surgery and struggle. Lord Christ, walk beside them and bring your healing peace. We pray a blessing upon the blanket ministry and upon each family or individual who will receive a blanket as a sign of your warmth and love. God, please bless Diane and Tim Fonderlin as they work with the people of Haiti, especially now as the island nation rebuilds and recovers from a hurricane. Oh God, there are many in our country and in our world recovering from storms, tornadoes, hurricanes, wildfire, tragedies of many kinds. We ask, God, that you will continue to be with your people through stormy seasons. We pray your blessing upon Pastor Vanetta and her leadership of Granger Community Christian Church. Continue to help this congregation be strong and vibrant. Holy Lord, for everyone that we have named aloud and for those we hold in our hearts, we pray your blessing, your grace and your mercy, your forgiveness and your peace. May we who claim your name, O Christ, bear your love into the world where stormy seas affect so many. May your peace spread through us to calm those who need it most, to bring healing and hope. In your precious name we pray. Amen. When you were a child, your parent or teacher probably said to you at some point, look both ways before you cross the street. It's good advice. We teach it to our own kids. Watch out for traffic. Look both ways before you cross the street. The same advice could be given as we come to the Lord's table. Look both ways. Look up to God, our Heavenly Father. Look around at the people who share the Lord's Supper with us. And then look within your own heart and know what needs to be forgiven, what needs to be brought to God, so that you are prepared when you come to the Lord's table to meet Christ face to face and put your hand in his hand. All who follow Jesus are welcome at the Lord's Supper. We'll share communion by passing the bread and the cup. Please serve the person next to you. We'll prepare for communion by singing together, Fill My Cup, Lord, number 351. Last night, Charles and I had a date night. We went to a movie and then out to dinner. By the time the restaurant had finished serving us this plate full of food, we both ate until we could eat no more. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Eating the bread of heaven is not about stuffing our stomachs until they burst. Rather, it is about turning to God so that we want nothing else in life beyond the love of Christ. When we feed on the bread of heaven, all of our wants and needs are sated. We are filled with Christ's love. When we drink the cup of salvation, God's love overflows through us to bless others. As we come to the table, we remember that night when Jesus met with his friends in the upper room. While they were eating, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and to us, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you to forgive your sin and the sins of many. Each time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's life, death, and resurrection until he comes. These are the gifts of God for the people of God." Let us pray.
Most gracious God, whether we are in a rushing crowd or sitting in solitary stillness, communion with you, Lord, is sweet and beautiful. Whatever ails us, delights us, becomes your concern. How great thou art. We ask your blessing on this bread and cup as we partake. Guide us to live as would be pleasing to you. Amen. Thank you.
I am amazed by the way our wonderful God has pulled all the threads of this service together. As we come to the offering, I'd like you to take just another moment to look at the back of your bulletin. And you will see that under health and other concerns, my son Dave is the very first name. And I want you to ponder for just a moment how many times over the years you've sat in the pew and looked at his name and offered just a simple prayer, perhaps, of, "O Lord." For those of you who may not know, April 1st will be the 10th anniversary of the day my son shot himself with a .30-06 rifle. I truly, truly hope that that is the most difficult storm that either my son or I face in this life. But just last week, long before I knew what this service was going to be about, I asked Dave if he wanted his name to continue in the bulletin every week, because he is amazingly well. And he said, "You know, Mom, I want you, if you have a chance, to say, yes, I would like all the prayers I could continue to get. But," he said, "I want you, if you have a chance, and this is my chance, to tell the congregation at FCC that I believe their prayers created a bubble of protection around me for the last 9 years. And that bubble allowed me the peace and the comfort to heal. That bubble of protection allowed me to see the face of my Savior. About 3 years ago, my son went through a tremendous time of renewal of his faith. And he said, 'Mom, I want you to tell First Christian Church that I walk with my Savior every day, in part because of the gift of their prayers.' I also want you to know that during the worst of those times, we are both so grateful for all that this church did. There was no word of comfort that was too small or unnecessary. As Dave's years of recovery and surgery after surgery wore on, many of you may recall that almost all of that either happened in Nashville, Tennessee, or at the University of Utah in Salt Lake City. I think it is truly amazing that today we pray for Vanetta, because there was a time when I spoke to Vanetta and said, 'My son is so far from me and from all of us that love him, and he is marooned at the University of Utah. And will your church please treat my son as one of your own?' And they did, and I am so grateful. How amazing it is that today Vanetta is our partner in prayer. And I ask you from the bottom of my heart to bless that church in your prayers for what they have done for keeping my son in their prayers." The thought I would like to leave you with is, there's never been a time that you've seen my son's name in the bulletin that it didn't matter. There is no prayer that is too small. There is no gift that is too small. Because as we come forward today, we are placing those prayers and those gifts in the hand of Almighty God. And he does amazing things. The diaconate will now wait upon us for the offering.
Thank you.
please pray with me. Father God, please accept these gifts, these prayer cards, every moment of time that we offer in your name. We thank you, God, that you magnify your gifts and that you magnify your love in our hearts at this very moment, this day, and this week. Use our gifts, Lord, and use us to show the world the love of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tis the gift to be simple, tis the gift to be free, tis the gift to calm down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place to strive, 'twill be in the valley of love and delight. Tis the gift to be simple, tis the gift to be free, tis the gift to calm down where we ought to be. And when we find ourselves in the place to strive, will be in the valley of love and delight. When true simplicity is gained, to bow and to bend, we shan't be ashamed. To turn, turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning we come round, right.
Phil Ostrander is going to come forward and lead us in a reading of Scripture. If you would turn in your hymnal to page 743, we will read responsively several verses from Psalm 51. And you'll notice that there is a sung response as well. Gaylene will play that through for us once to hear. We will sing the refrain together. And then Phil will lead the responsive reading, and after each stanza, when there's a bold letter R, we'll sing that refrain again.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Wash me thoroughly in my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
You desire truth in the inward being.
Therefore, teach me wisdom.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And put a new and right spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you.
Our New Testament reading today comes from the Gospel according to Mark, the fourth chapter. In your New Testament section of the Pew Bible, you can find it on page 39. We'll hear from Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you, Gaylene, for providing music during our service today. We are so blessed to have you as a substitute pianist to fill in for Diane. And thank you, Madison, for that lovely rendition of "'Tis a Gift to Be Simple." Will you pray with me? Holy One, through the storms of life, you are with us. In these precious moments of worship, calm our hearts to know your peace in a deep and abiding way. Bless now the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We are in the midst of a brief four-week series reflecting on what it means to live simply. Each Sunday, there's an insert in your bulletin provided by our Stewardship Commission. If you haven't had a chance to read this morning's reading already in worship, I encourage you to take it home with you and read it sometime during your devotion. Having deep faith is not easy. It is simple, but it is not easy. The psalmist cries out to God with a plea and a prayer, "Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me." Perhaps there has been a time in your own life when you, like the psalmist, has turned to God and cried out, "I need a new start. I know I've messed up. God, please forgive my sin. Help me start over." What an incredible gift of faith it is to know that God will give us a clean heart, a new beginning, when we turn away from our sin and trust in Him. The story that we read in Mark 4 is set in the context of Jesus teaching and preaching. In the fourth chapter of Mark's gospel, we find Jesus teaching beside the sea, is the way that chapter starts. The Sea of Galilee. It had numerous names, sometimes called the Sea of Tiberias, because the city of Tiberias is on the western shore of that lake, the lake or Sea of Galilee. It's in northern Israel, near the border between Syria and Jordan. The Sea of Galilee is fed by the Jordan River that flows in and out through it. There are a few fresh springs that provide water to this lake, large enough that in ancient times people called it a sea. Standing on the shore of the Sea of Galilee in some ways is like standing on the shore of Lake Erie. It is vast enough that you can't see across to the other side. Depending on what part of the coastline you're at, you might think you're at the edge of the ocean, not just a lake. The Sea of Galilee is approximately 13 miles long and about 8 miles wide. It's not the biggest lake in the world. It is the lowest freshwater lake in the world. It's actually below sea level. But unlike the Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee is alive and fresh. It's a source of drinking water for people in Israel. There are fish who swim freely in that lake, who provide nourishment for the people on the shores, just as in ancient times. In the story of Mark's gospel, Jesus was standing on that lake shore, teaching. He taught in parables. He told a story about a sower planting different kinds of seed, with the seed representing the word of God. He talked about how we are like a light that should not be hidden under a bushel, but set on a lampstand for all to see. He also said the kingdom of heaven is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. The seed he chose to represent the kingdom of God was a mustard seed, something so tiny that it truly seems miraculous to grow into a large enough plant to provide shelter. After all of his teaching on that day when evening came, he said to the disciples, "Let's go across to the other side. Let's go to that shore that you can't see from here. Let's travel someplace else together." So leaving the crowds behind, they put him in the boat. They treated him as a guest of honor. The boats of those days were made of wood, often a combination of oak and cedar, carefully treated and dried to be water resistant. In the back of the boat, there would be a bench with a cushion on it. It was a place where the guest in the boat could sit and rest while the sailors trimmed the sails and managed the crossing of the sea. So the disciples put their friend Jesus in the stern, and he lays down to rest. It's been a long day. They've traveled a lot by foot, and Jesus is road weary. I wonder at this point if Jesus is a little bit like my husband. When we go to bed at night, Charles will read his book for a few minutes, turn off his light, and be asleep. One night, I even couldn't help myself. I just rolled over and said, "Are you asleep already?" And he woke up. What? My guess is Jesus went to sleep as soon as his head hit the pillow. He was resting calmly as they sailed. In the middle of the Sea of Galilee, you need to know where you're going. There's a point where you can't see the shoreline in either direction. The geographic area of that lake is about the size of Washington, D.C. So imagine standing in the middle of the city trying to see the edge. You can't. It's a relatively shallow lake. Its average depth is about 80 miles. The deepest point is 140 miles. I wouldn't want to fall out of the boat. But as lakes go, it's relatively shallow and gentle in its slope. Oftentimes, shallow lakes have the worst storms. Living in Wyoming, I am so blessed to be able, on numerous summers, to go to Ring Lake Ranch for a time of retreat. The first summer that I lived here, when I went to Ring Lake, and the orientation, the presentation was given primarily for the benefit of city folk who travel far and wide to get there, who are not used to being in a wilderness setting. The safety talk was couched in terms of, watch out, in the Wyoming wilderness, you can die. I still remember the presentation. If you're out hiking on a trail, someone said, watch out for the rattlesnakes. If they bite you, you'll die. Watch out for those steep cliffs. You might fall off. You could die. The list went on and on. If you're hiking a trail by yourself and you get caught in a thunder and lightning storm, you could get struck by lightning and you could die. If you're paddling across Trail Lake, the small lake where Ring Lake Ranch is situated, the warning was given, the wind can come up suddenly. And if you're in a canoe without a life vest, be careful, it could tip over and you could die. I'm glad under the new management of Andy Blackman, their new director, they've modified that welcome speech a little bit. They don't emphasize so much the fact that you could die when you visit Wyoming, but they still give the same cautions. Pay attention to your surroundings. Be smart. Don't go hiking by yourself and not tell anyone where you are. And if you're going to paddle across the lake, take someone with you. Wear a life vest. And the caution is still given, if you're crossing the lake in the afternoon, stay within sight of the shore. Paddle around the edge of the lake. Because in Wyoming, the wind can come up without warning. And that small little high mountain lake can get white caps on it. A canoe or a kayak can roll over. The Sea of Galilee, much like the smaller Trail Lake or the larger Lake Erie, is situated in a place where storms come up suddenly. The winds blow primarily east and west there. They kind of get funneled in by the foothills that are south of the Sea of Galilee. The wind sort of gets channeled straight to that spot where it stirs up the water. Friday afternoon, I attended the Wyoming Association of Churches 40th annual board meeting at St. Mark's here in Casper. There were people from across the state. And if you remember, Friday afternoon, it was one of those blustery Wyoming windy days. It was interesting hearing conversation at the table. Folks were talking about the flashing signs with the wind warnings they'd seen coming into town. Someone had seen a sign that the State Highway Department was warning high wind danger till 9 p.m. We joked, how is it that they know exactly at 9 o'clock the wind's going to die down? There were several Wyomingites there who said, we really like coming to Casper, but it's always so windy. Having lived here for 7 years, I said, oh, it's just a breeze, don't worry about it. Casper Mountains sometimes funnels our winds across the prairie right here by the North Platte River, and it blows up a storm. I remember Charles and I driving south of Rocky Mountain National Park. One day, late spring, a thunderstorm came up. We were so blessed to be right by an old abandoned hotel with one of those awnings out front. We could pull our car in underneath, because if it hadn't been there right then, the roof would have been dented, perhaps the windshield even cracked, by the velocity and size of hail balls. Storms come up often without warning in the Rockies. As a Girl Scout, I was backpacking in Idaho. On the 4th of July, we were in the wilderness north of Shoup in the Salmon River Wilderness, and we hiked through a snowstorm, ended up trapped for 24 hours in a blizzard, waiting for the storm to abate before we could leave camp. The fishermen with Jesus knew the Sea of Galilee. They had crossed it before. They knew how to navigate it by the stars at night and the angle of sun, depending on the time of day. They were sure where they were going. They knew that storms could come up in the middle of the afternoon or early evening without warning. So looking at the fear of the disciples, that must have been a doozy. The wind whipped up a squall. The waves started splashing into the boat. The waves were so big, the boat was already beginning to sink. In 1992, there was a windstorm on the Sea of Galilee. The city of Tiberias was hit by waves 10 feet tall that caused damage on the shore. And the story we hear of Mark, Jesus was asleep in the middle of the lake, in the boat, with experienced fishermen who panicked because the storm was so bad. Teacher, wake up. Don't you care that we're perishing? Don't you want to know we're going to drown? We don't want you to sleep through this. Wake up, Jesus. He awakes and speaks simple words of calm to the wind and to the waves. Peace, be still. And there was a dead calm. Imagine that, to go from the most raging gale this fisherman had ever experienced, waves swamping the boat so fast they couldn't bail it out. The sail was already ripped to shreds. Suddenly, it's calm. And the sea is like glass. And Jesus turns to the disciples, "Why are you afraid? You knew I was here with you. You would be safe. Do you still have no faith?" It happens in our own lives, doesn't it? We know God is with us. And yet when the storms hit, we can't help ourselves. We panic. Jesus, where are you? God, are you listening to my prayers? Think about the storms of your own life. Maybe you've actually survived a physical storm. Maybe you've lived through a hurricane, seen flood damage in your home, survived a wildfire, and lived to tell about it. Remember that feeling in the midst of chaos. Your heart just wants to panic, but somehow you deal with the crisis. And then when it's over, perhaps you found yourself asking God, "Where were you? Why did this bad, horrible thing happen?" Perhaps the storm in your life is of a different kind. Maybe it was that time when you lost your job and you weren't sure if you could pay the bills, or someone you love got bad news from the doctor. A relationship you had always counted on to be rock solid suddenly was suffering an earthquake. The midst of that storm was when you turned to God. Are you listening, Jesus, or are you asleep? The Lord does not slumber, nor doth he sleep. The Lord shall be the shade at your right hand, your protection at night. The miracle of this story, we think, is that Jesus calms the sea. It truly is amazing that he speaks with a human voice and nature listens. That sounds like a miracle to me. The very presence of God that created the world calms the world. And yet there's a different miracle that happens in this story. Perhaps the true miracle is that God, the divine one, with the power to control the universe, to cast new stars in the heavens, to part the waters so you can see the earth beneath the ocean. The miracle is that God, with all that power, chooses to hang out in our world in human form with a bunch of fishermen, a tax collector, ordinary people. People like you and I who sometimes maybe don't even know what we're doing, just muddle through. Why would the Divine One give up the power of creating stars to take a nap in our boat? The miracle is that Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. The miracle is that God, who has ultimate power and control, is willing to give that up to be in covenant relationship with us. I cannot even imagine how frustrated God must be some days when looking upon those created in his own image and seeing the mess we make of things. I think if I were God, if I had that kind of power, I would just jump down here and fix it. Well, God did that with a flood once. And then God reminded God's own self about the importance of relationship and covenant and promise. And God said, "Never again am I going to wipe out your mistakes. I'm just going to love you through them." In Jesus, God chose to come and be present with us in the middle of the storm. And instead of fixing it for us, Jesus sits next to us, waiting for us to pay attention, to hear his voice say, "Peace, be still." To receive again the promise that there is nothing we have done that could possibly have messed up life too much that God won't give us a new start with forgiveness in our hearts to begin again. Sometimes the miracle is just waiting the storm out and knowing you are not alone. This week, may you be aware that Jesus is in your boat. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today is number 561, a song that was written by a man who knew stormy seas. His family had perished in an ocean crossing, and when he was on board a ship in the same place where they had lost their lives, he wrote these words. Let's stand and sing together, "It Is Well With My Soul," the first and last verses.
Thank you. I would remind you that there is a time of fellowship waiting for us downstairs in Fellowship Hall. There's hot coffee, some refreshments, and time of conversation. If you're a visitor today, I do welcome you, encourage you to stay and meet other members of the congregation who are here in worship. If all hearts and minds are clear, let us pray. Lord Jesus, may it be well with our souls, for you are with us, no matter the storm. Bless your people with peace as we go forth to love and to serve in your name, being called Christians, for we follow Christ. Amen.